Sweet 16 is a new movie about a Scottish teenager who sells drugs and pins all of his hopes on his mother getting out of jail. It's the latest from screenwriter Paul Laverty and director Ken Loach, who makes movies about the working class. Loach once said he declined to become a member of the Order of the British Empire because it's not the sort of club he'd want to join. Beth Accomando of member station KPBS reports.
In 1998, Ken Loach was making a film called My Name is Joe about a middle-aged football coach when his attention turned to the kids on the team.
They had led chaotic lives. Some had no mother, no father. They'd been in children's homes. They'd had lives packed with drama and incident and chaos and tragedy. And there wasn't really space in that film to explore that.
So Loach and screenwriter Paul Laverty decided to create that space in Sweet 16. Laverty took a trip back to Glasgow and nearby Greenock to do some research.
That sounds a very academic way to put it. Oftentimes it's wandering the streets and bumping into people and just listening. You're looking for inspiration, Beth, I suppose, really. you're hoping something will smack you right in the eyes and fill up the empty brain that you're walking around with.
Laverty doesn't walk around with a notebook jotting down bits of dialogue. Instead, he lets the local sounds fill his head and then tries to recreate them in a script. To make those voices ring true, he and director Ken Loach say they often cast non-professional actors from the area where each story is set.
It's very difficult for a working-class guy to pretend to be middle-class. It's very, very hard for a middle-class guy, bourgeois kind of person, to pretend to be working-class. I think the camera sees through that.
Kind of hard to believe Julia Roberts as a cleaner, or Jennifer Lopez, for that matter. I mean, it just doesn't work, really. You know, well, it does work on one level. It can be entertainment and escapism.
But Laverty and Loach are interested in social reality. For Liam, the teenage boy at the center of Sweet 16, reality is a mother in jail, a father who sells drugs, and no job prospects. Liam is played by Martin Compston, a working-class 17-year-old the filmmakers discovered after months of auditions in the Glasgow area. In addition to letting him be himself on screen, the filmmakers also let him speak in his own language.
All right, Mom, it's your handsome wee boy here. Send you a wee tape to cheer you up. Sitting in with a few boys. Bimbo, nighttime, psychic, joint employees of the month.
Fastest pizza slingers in the West.
That's official, by the way.
In a tape he makes for his mom, Liam introduces his best friend Pinball, along with Nighttime and Sidekick, the fastest pizza slingers in the West. Director Loach, who's English, says the boys were often more difficult to understand than the girls in the cast.
It is quite a hard dialect, and particularly teenage lads speak it in a very, quite an aggressive way. It's a kind of badge of identity, isn't it? I think it's to do with all that teenage testosterone that's, you know, proclaiming their identity through the being difficult to understand.
So Loach decided to subtitle the film, something he's done before with his working-class characters. For the Scottish-born Laverty, this raises interesting questions.
I understand how Harrison Ford and Julia Roberts speak, but they don't understand how my colleagues speak, and it's because we have had access to them and they have had no access to us. So it raises very interesting questions about, like, what accent is acceptable or not, what words are acceptable or not. And we had a big, huge debate with the British Board of Film Classification here over the use of street language, in other words, swear words. They actually said that 18-year-olds couldn't go and see this film. Which I found surprising, since they're quite happy to send kids off that age to Iraq, but they disallow them from seeing their own images and how they speak on screen.
Laverty says that the plot was precisely laid out and scenes were carefully scripted in terms of what needed to occur. But dialogue was more loosely structured, with the young performers encouraged to contribute their own lines.
You know, if you give them a script, it'll just kill it dead. So what you do is give them guidelines, suggest lines, you know, and try and make it live that way. And I think maybe because of that and Ken's skill with the actors and the collaboration with them, it often does have a kind of a very authentic, spontaneous feel. And that's very, very important. Because I think if you do hear the clever lines of the writer, you know, behind the words of the actor, I think it just breaks that magical connection that we have with the screen.
To help maintain that connection, Ken Loach tries to make sure that the camera serves the characters and their stories and is not there to draw attention to itself. So Loach shoots quickly and simply so that actors don't become drained by the process. And while most filmmakers find it more cost-effective to let the location of scenes determine the shooting schedule, Loach firmly believes that it's important to shoot scenes in the order that they occur in the script.
I mean, it just seems to me so obvious. You do a scene one day, and then the next day you do the scene that follows it. Well, you've explored the earlier scene, you've discovered what it means to the characters, you know the mood they have left it in. That is the rehearsal for the next day.
Loach's ability to convey the realities of working-class life has won him a reputation as a filmmaker with a social conscience. But Laverty challenges that label.
I think every single filmmaker, no matter what he does, whether it's a carry-on film or whether it's a Hollywood hero film, you know, underneath it is a set of values, and with it is a view of the world. Now, often people describe our films as political, you know, but they would describe Harrison Ford in Clear and Present Danger as entertainment. But when you actually look at it, they're trying to present a view of the CIA and what the CIA has done, which totally conflicts with reality. Now, they would say, well, it's just an adaptation of a book. But that's a $60 million entertainment film, whereas ours is described as a political film, and with that as the subtext that it should only be in the art houses and up some cul-de-sac and shouldn't really be in the multiplexes. So I disagree with the premise to the whole thing, really. I think we've all got responsibilities to be in how we tell stories.
Paul Laverty and Ken Loach take those responsibilities seriously. And while he admits that there are people, social workers and teachers, who can have a more direct impact on these kids' lives, Laverty hopes that Sweet 16 will make people aware of their situation. U.S. audiences, those who go to art houses, will get a chance to see the social and economic realities of present-day Glasgow when Sweet 16 opens in theaters here in the next few weeks. For NPR News, I'm Beth Accomando.